The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. I'm Nancy Allspot Jackson.
And I'm Shannon Penrod. And you look so beautiful today, Nancy.
Thank you, Shannon.
You look amazing.
Thank you very much.
I feel beneath you.
No, you are
not. I feel unworthy. But I'm so excited to be here with you today. We've got an amazing show. And I'm excited for our two guests that are going to be with us and everything that we're going to talk about beforehand.
Yes, we have two wonderful co-authors with us, and we're going to be talking about their books.
Yes, and I have been saying the name of the books all week long. I've been saying Autism and Anxiety, but it's Autism and Depression. But there's a reason why I've been missaying it wrong, because we always talk about, and Dr. Doreen always says here on the show, that depression and anxiety right together, right?
Right.
So I think this is a really important topic that we need to talk about. And then their newer book, Awkward, The Social Do's and Don'ts of Being a Young Adult. So could there be two better books to talk about today? Really excited to be talking with the authors of both of those books. Thrilled that they're going to be joining us in just a few minutes. But before we get to all of that, we have a lot of things that we want to go through. We want to remind everybody that the show is premiering live right now, that those of you who are watching live, the show was pre-recorded yesterday, last night, in fact. But the show, I'm watching live with you, and you can still participate live, asking questions in the chat right now. And I'll be answering the questions in the chat. So feel the very freest to do that and participate with us. So
I hear a barking dog. Sorry about that.
Mine's going to start any second. We just had somebody with a leaf blower. We've already started moving into the studio and doing live shows from the studio, but for various and sundry reasons, I needed to be back home this week. And it's so funny that we were home for so long, and then I've been doing stuff from the studio, Nancy, and it is so weird to be back home and dealing with all the things back home, like barking dogs, like people with leaf blowers, like all of those things that are going on. And we've lost Nancy to the dog, but this is where we've been for 2 years, right?
Right.
So you probably have a leaf blower at your house too now.
I don't know what's going on, but Dakota is having a ball.
Well, you know, it happens, and we forge on, right? It's all good. And soon Dakota will set off my dog, and then it will just be, let's talk about dogs barking. and that will be okay too. But Nancy, before we get into even in the news, we always like to kick the show off by featuring a little why art.
Right.
And what have we got today? Oh, isn't that precious? So yeah, for people who haven't watched, tell them a little bit about what we're looking at.
We're looking at my son Wyatt's art. This is a commissioned painting, commissioned from a photograph. And it's of a little dog named Bailey, who's just too cute to be believed.
Yeah. So when you say commissioned art, talk a little bit about that process.
People write to me, usually after looking at his Facebook and Instagram pages. There's his Facebook address, Why Art Autism. And they write to me and see if he can commission from a photograph a portrait of their pet. Sometimes people buy things that are already on his Facebook page that he's already painted, or they request a commission, which he takes. This was a commission.
And I love this, that people from all over the world are sending you pictures of their favorite pet, whether it's a gift for themselves or for a loved one.
Right.
And he does these beautiful representations of these animals. And he's even done a wonderful portrait of a good friend of yours, somebody that I love too. I don't know why I was making it just about you. He did a beautiful portrait. So he does people as well.
Yes, he does. He does people as well. He does landscapes, people, pets, all kinds of things.
Do you know what I think is so fun? There was a trend many years ago where people would have someone paint a picture of your childhood home. And that's something that I think that people would really love because his landscapes are beautiful too. He does.
Oh, that's a good idea, Shannon.
Right.
He also loves to paint cows.
The cows are just absolutely amazing. I've requested a cowlander.
Right.
And so that we can have all the cows in one place. Do we have others that we want to look at this week?
That's it today. I did this one last week.
Amazing. Well, he's so talented. If you want to know more, obviously we have his social media things there as well. And Wyatt's art was featured in one of our stories from the Spectrum that was just, it was from the one from 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And so if you go to Stories from the Spectrum, episode 1, it's the very first story. You can watch Wyatt at work and see some of his work.
And your son, Jem, produced and directed that segment, which he did an amazing job.
All on his baby own, which was amazing to me because, you know, I think sometimes as parents, Nancy, I'm sure that you have felt this way with Wyatt's art, where you give him a canvas and you don't know what's going to happen on it.
Right.
But at this point, he's done enough things that you know it's going to be good. He's talented. There's no denying it now. And my son has done some video work, but you know, I was very hopeful and I was like, you know, you decide, you go shoot whatever you want, you decide how you want to edit it. But I was amazed at what he did. I felt like it was a really beautiful love letter to what Wyatt does.
It was. And I was impressed. From a place of friendship because they've known each other for many, many years.
I thought it was really lovely. So definitely go check that out. You can, my son narrates it and you can see Wyatt at work doing, because he not only does these portraits and the landscapes, but he also does, I would call it a color study, but it's not, I don't have the right art term for it, Nancy. It's modern art, that he does that you call the eco art, right?
Yeah. Eco art. Uh-huh. Eco art.
And because he does them on all the packing materials,
recycled cartons, packing materials, wine cartons, egg cartons, Starbucks cartons. Yeah,
it just does amazing stuff, and it just my son sort of shows him working and the focus and the time and the care and the consideration that Wyatt does. But then when he finally lifts it up, everybody that I've watched watch it. Does the same thing when he finally lifts up to show the finished carton. Everybody goes, oh, it's just stunning. And he's very prolific. He paints every single day.
Yes.
So there is artwork to be purchased if people are interested. So thank you for sharing us why art this week. Shall we jump into the news?
Yes.
Well, let's go to the first story. And this was a story that you specifically had thrown into the mix this week, Nancy. And tell us a little bit about it and why you wanted to talk about this.
Well, I saw this on Facebook, and it's taken from a blog by Carrie Cariello.
Yeah.
And then the title of it is Forever Mother, Not Helicopter Mother. And it's in response to a comment she received when she posted on a website about being a forever mother, the kind of mother who is going to spend the rest of her life taking care of her son.
Yeah, because if memory serves, Nancy, the comment was something like, I'm going to paraphrase here, but basically the person was very dismissive and said, you need to stop doing so much for your kid. And your job as a parent is to have your kids be independent of you.
Exactly.
Which felt very shaming.
That it was shaming, saying, you mean helicopter mom, let your son grow up, become a functioning adult. This is a mom who plans on doing everything for her child. My kids do not need me. That is the goal of parenthood. Well, they kind of missed the point because Carrie was talking about the fact that her son, who I imagine is either, you know, I hate to put labels on it, but maybe moderate to low functioning, something in that area, he'll always need support.
Yeah.
And it resonated with me because I'm in the same situation. My son is always going to need support. Yeah. And whether he lives with me or lives with someone else, he's going to need somebody to help him navigate, you know, medical care, financial care, and many other things. Yeah. So anyway, she talks about being the difference between being a helicopter mom and a forever mom. And she says, this is not a choice.
Yeah.
Nothing about this is a choice, from obtaining guardianship to researching post-high school programs to managing medication. Autism made the choice for us.
Yeah.
So I had never heard this term forever mom, but I consider myself one of them. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of our viewers might be in the same boat.
Yeah, I think it's a really difficult thing because, you know, we certainly talk about a lot of different things on the show here having to do with being a parent. And it's kind of hard to know. And there are different phases that people are in. I think when our kids are little, we're all still in the phase where we're hopeful and we're trying. We're all hoping for that best outcome. And right. that best outcome for all of us is that our child is able to do everything eventually by themselves.
Right.
And with ease and be happy while they're doing all of that. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we all long for. But along the way, there are certain gates that we go through that where I think the road starts to diverge.
Yes, and, yes.
And if, to me, it feels a little bit like a tree, and it's like you lose people along the way. And I know, because you've been such a good friend, Nancy, and we've talked through so many things, I know what it's felt like from my side of it, and you've shared some of, but I'm sure not all of, what it's like for your side. I know what it's felt like when people have gone on to do things that my son wasn't capable of, but most of the things he's been able to do eventually, maybe just a little bit later. And I hear from so many parents about how devastating it is, especially this time of year, when kids are graduating and announcing what college they're going to go to. And for the parents who are like, that's not my story.
Right.
And then to be told, well, you should stop being a helicopter parent. It's so insensitive.
Yes, it is.
And it really goes to the heart and the core of perspective taking. That mm-hmm. just because something is for you doesn't mean that it is for someone else. It's hard, right. though. It's hard sometimes because we are in the middle of our own experience to remember that may not be the experience for someone else. Yeah. And this concept of being a forever mother, knowing that I think the acceptance that comes with when parents go, okay, my child's a certain age. We're not stopping developing. We're not stopping learning, but we're accepting the fact that we are going to need support forever.
Right. I mean, I'm Wyatt is still in ABA therapy. We still do a specific diet. We've given up on a lot of the biomedical interventions that we used to do from the time he was 3 until he reached, say, maybe 14 or 15. But there comes a certain reality in life that you need to accept. And that's why
that's
I
want hard.
To think about this.
That's hard. That's hard. I can't even begin to imagine how hard. And it's a topic that we need to be spending more time on, because there are more and more parents that are coming to terms with that.
Yes.
And so I did appreciate this article. I think this mom is, well, obviously she's got a huge following, very eloquent. We should reach out to her, Nancy. We should invite her to be on the show.
I think it'd be great to have her on. I really enjoyed her blog.
Me too. And I read a couple of her other blogs. I really enjoyed them.
Right.
But moving on, our next story, I want to say that in the title of this story, there's some incendiary language that will offend some of you. And I'm going to ask you to bear with me, because there's more in the story than is in the title. But you know that sometimes the people who make the titles for these are not the people who write the articles.
You're talking about the C word, right?
Yes, the C word. This is a word that we don't use in conjunction with autism on the show, but it is the title of this article, A Potential Cure for Autism. And this is an article that's about new research having to do with gene therapy to treat a very specific syndrome that goes hand in hand with autism. It's Pitt-Hopkins syndrome.
It is, as you said, Shannon, a form of autism.
But I do want to say that in the article, I did not see any mention of the word cure. I saw abatement of symptoms.
Right.
I did not see the word cure, but they put things in titles so that they can get more eyeballs to look at it. I apologize, but I felt like it was an important story to cover because of what they're talking about. And what they're talking about is the use of psilocybin. And I had to look that up because I was like, why does that? And I feel like we covered a story about this not too long ago. But I don't think it was on this show, Nancy. It might've been with Dr. Graham Piché. But were you familiar with what psilocybin was before this article?
Yes, I'm familiar with psilocybin.
Okay, talk a little bit about that.
Psilocybin is a psychotropic, is that what it'd be called?
A psychedelic.
Psychedelic drug.
It's mushrooms.
What?
It's mushrooms. It's a very specific, yeah, it's derived from a very specific type of mushrooms.
Right. They're saying that it might be useful in treating autism spectrum disorders.
In particular, Pitt-Hopkins.
Yes.
Now, that's not all types of autism. It's a very specific gene expression that creates Pitt-Hopkins. But they are saying that in their animal models that they feel that there is some hope that there would be some abatement of some of the issues that go hand in hand with autism.
Yes, it could restore normal TCFG expression, whatever that is. So, a gene expression.
But that in the process of doing that, that there are aspects of autism having to do with things like short-term memory or gastrointestinal issues that could be reversed. So I don't want people to think that this is just something about like some mythical, let's achieve normal and it creates eye contact. It isn't. It's about helping to improve overall health and potentially have gut work better. I thought it was worthwhile at least talking about, but again, apologies for the title. And then our last story today, unless you wanted to add anything else about that, Nancy.
No, that's fine.
But our last story today, I found this really interesting as well, that and that was just for us to be able to look at the psilocybin. But in any case, our last story is about Autism One, which was a very popular conference when our kids were just being diagnosed.
Yes, I went to many Autism One conferences.
And I never got to one, but I covered them on the radio show that I used to do before. Mm-hmm. I would always hook up with a mom who was going, and she would, whoever it was would go to different talks and things, and then they would come on the radio show and talk about it afterwards. So I always felt like I was there. But
you might say that conference is really focuses on all things biomedical.
Well, and from what I read in this article, it sounds like that they're really going to be talking about everything. Mm-hmm. Everything that's working, including behavioral techniques and the such. Because I agree with you that for the longest time, it was really what you thought of if you were thinking about biomedical and some of the more cutting edge things. Sometimes there were things that were very controversial that Autism One would cover, and people got very, upset from time to time about, is it this or is it that? But now they're doing this new conference that it always used to take place in Chicago, and this one is going to take place in Arizona.
Right.
And
August
18th. This August. Yeah.
Yeah, it starts on August 18th, Thursday, August 18th, and it runs through Sunday, August 21st, as you said, in Mesa, Arizona, Sharon.
And look, even in the title here, they're saying that they're going to talk about health, rights, housing, everything under the sun about adulthood, So I think it'll be really interesting. I also found it fascinating that they went through a little bit of the history in this article. I found it in finance, which I found funny. Like, I don't know why it was in finance, but I found it in Yahoo Finance.
Okay.
And they did there's a whole section in there where it talks about the roots of it and Adiranga and stuff that I did not know. So I just found that a little bit interesting. But for those of you who they've not been doing a conference the last few years, especially during the pandemic, but they're coming back with their conference. So if you're interested in that, you can find it in finance at Yahoo this week. For this week, but we, as I said at the start of the show, we've got two amazing guests that are joining us that are authors of some pretty impressive books, one of them that's new. Do you want to do the intros here, Nancy?
Sure, I'll intro our two guests. We'll start with Carlos Torres. Carlos is a published author, coach, and program director for a young adult program. He creates curriculum and designs groups to develop social skills, vocational skills, leisure, and relationship skills. He also coaches special needs sports teams for the Miracle League of Wisconsin. He has a degree in special education, and he is the co-author of this book, along with Catherine Saint, who is a PhD, LPC, and a BCBA. Catherine has her doctorate in behavior analysis and is a licensed professional counselor. She presents locally and internationally on topics related to autism. She has a private practice in mental health counseling, is the director of training at Fox Valley Autism Treatment Program in Appleton, Wisconsin. So we're very excited to have them here, and we're going to be talking about their books, Autism and Depression, and Awkward, the Social Do's and Don'ts of Being a Young Adult. Welcome to the show, Carlos and Catherine.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, guys.
We're so excited to have you, and thank you, because we had you scheduled to be on a month ago, and then we had to reschedule you, so thank you for being so willing to be rescheduled. But I think, first of all, we should talk about both of these books just a little bit, and give us a little description, if you would, of each of the books.
Sure, I can kick it off and start with the Awkward book, Awkward, the Social Do's and Don'ts of Being a Young Adult. This one, I was working with younger adults, teenage clients, and there was a lot of stuff going on where social scenarios were not being understood, or one of my clients specifically said, well, why should I, in a certain circumstance, for socially with their friends? And it just sprung an idea that this client isn't picking up exactly on why it's appropriate to do this socially, because he wants to fit in, and it was just a question to help him do that. So in this book, we break down certain scenarios with these are the typical do's, these are the typical don'ts, with visuals to kind of show some scenarios that happen as well. We break down with role-playing scenarios, discussion questions, and then one thing that I think is forgot a lot of times is that self-evaluation piece. So they're able to, whether it's prompted with help, with family, therapist, whatever, or themselves being able to self-evaluate, like, where are they now? Do they gauge and have a better understanding so that they can improve and be more successful in their everyday life?
We were really hoping with this book that it'd be super easy. They could quick grab it, like, okay, I'm going over to my friend's house. What are some things I should keep in mind so that I don't offend anyone or so that it goes smoothly? So we wanted it to just be super user-friendly, written in relatable language. So it's a pretty casual book.
Wonderful. And should we talk about this one first and then talk about the other one in total? Maybe we should do that. So I'm interested in that. You were saying the self-evaluation piece. Talk to us a little bit about that and why that's important.
So if we're working on shaping social skills, but there's zero awareness around that you're doing that, or that that's something that is impacting your relationships, it's really hard to change. So really that first step is just bringing awareness to, okay, what behaviors do I need to be mindful of? What behaviors are really impacting my environment in a way that I like or in a way that I don't like? So that I can be aware of the consequences or how I want to change. So part of that awareness is just identifying, okay, what are we going to work on first? What are the most powerful behaviors that are really going to help you and really going to help you access more meaningful relationships or help you avoid some situations that are causing you pain, different things like that.
Another thing too that comes up with it is that we all do this in social situations, right? We meet someone new. When we leave that situation, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I sounded so awkward. Or that really went well. I think I'm going to hang out with them again. Or I enjoyed them. They must have enjoyed me. They asked for my phone number. So we all do this self-evaluation in these social situations as well. It's just having an opportunity for them to be able to break it down and kind of give themselves a ranking system, something that is more black and white and visual, just to try to address all the learning styles that we can. Mm-hmm.
And the book is written in a very visual fashion, isn't it?
That's yes. Right. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We have examples of good body language and different things like that that are going to be helpful in social situations. And then examples of body language in different environments that are going to be hurtful. So, you know, really messy houses, for example, is one visual where somebody invites their friends over, but their house is really dirty. So it shows some facial expressions that might be on the guest's face and different things like that to just kind of help bring awareness to these are some reactions that could happen. So just helping if somebody is more visual, sometimes those pictures are really going to stick with them versus the words written in a list might not stick as good. So.
And what age and what skill set should somebody have to be able to do this? Is this a book that is okay for a 12-year-old? And I don't know, I'm mincing my words here because I hate having to say, you know, what level are they at? But what kinds of skills do you have for this to be something that's potentially useful to you? The book, because we all know we want to have friends, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's perfect for anyone that's looking to have that sustainable relationship independently without 100% prompting from a parent, a therapist, a guardian, whoever it may be. Someone that's looking to take that next step from, I'm feeling a little unsure in these situations. What's a way that we can boost my confidence, boost my skill set in this way so that I can have the ultimate success and be accepted by peers, accepted in friend circles, whatever it may be. The intent was to write it for high school age and all the way up to adults. But there have been clients of mine that have used it age 10, age 12, with some of the concepts being more explained thoroughly with therapists or parents and things like that to kind of prompt the learning at that situation.
Mm-hmm. There's certain topics in the book that would really apply to most ages where there's other vocational specific topics that would really only apply to older populations.
I was saying all this week, I feel like I need this book. I feel like social things have changed so much in the last 10 years and then put the pandemic on top of it. And then uh-huh. I'm in situations sometimes where I'm like, I don't know what the proper thing is to do here. I don't know how to react. Sometimes I don't understand the language. For heaven's sake, Traven, our producer, sent me a text message yesterday and it had one of those 3-letter things. And it was SMH, shaking my head. I didn't know. Like, I need somebody to walk with me to explain these things to me. It's a tough landscape, don't you think, for anyone?
Absolutely. Yeah, we when writing this, my mom actually took a peek at it, and she's like, oh, I could use this too. So that's really funny.
Yeah, social media has changed so much about the mm-hmm. landscape, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you know, I think...
We could all use a guide. I feel like there's so many situations that social skills are gray. You know, it's not black and white what to do. So there's many situations where I'm like, oh, I was just so awkward. I wish I would have navigated that difference or, you know.
But if it's so awkward, taking your word, I think sometimes we avoid it. But you guys suggest that we should not. Why is it important that we not avoid this?
This is so critical. Our fear will grow. Our anxiety will grow. You mentioned that earlier in this episode already about anxiety. When we avoid things, that feeds our anxiety and that makes it worse. So when we work on that exposure in a safe environment, we can train our brains that it's okay. It's safe. It's not as bad as I feared. so that we don't have that big fear reaction every time we're in that situation.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, when we really get down to it, when we talk as parents, and Nancy, you and I've had this conversation before, at the end of the day, what we want is for our kids to be happy and to feel like they belong and to have friends, to have people around them that we know care about them. Right.
Right.
And yet I think that a lot of us, myself included, we become a little paralyzed when trying to work on social skills with our kids because we're afraid that we don't know what to do. We're afraid that they won't know what to do. We're afraid they're going to get their feelings hurt. So we do that avoiding that you were talking about. But now there's a book. I think this would be a great gift for anybody that's graduating from middle school or high school, anyone, whether they're on the spectrum or not. But where can we get it?
Amazon is an easy way to get it. You can get it there. Otherwise, bookstores have it. Our publisher is Future Horizons. So anywhere.
Which I kind of love.
Oh, awesome.
I love Future Horizons. It's no secret. I really think what a great, great topic that we can all use. But you have another book out.
Yes.
That I've been misnaming all week long. As I've teased it to everybody, I've said the autism and anxiety book. It's not at all. Tell us what this book is.
Sure. So this book was written due to the high numbers of people diagnosed with both autism and depression. So that number, especially with the older population, is extremely high. And where people run into trouble is they will often go to counselors to seek help for depression, but the counselor will not have experience with autism, and so they'll refer out. And they'll say, I'm sorry, I'm not qualified to treat you, so I'm going to need to refer you to someone who has experience with autism. And so then what happens in a lot of cases is they can't find anyone, and so they end up not getting treatment at all. So we were seeing this with our clients, and we were having people reach out to us that lived really far away that couldn't come and do in-person therapy with us. And so we wanted to be able to offer something that we could say, like, hey, I know you don't have a provider in your area, but here's a book that you can take, and you can do this either by yourself, with a parent, with a therapist, with a friend. You know, you can walk through this workbook and hopefully gain some skills, gain some awareness, and really have some tools to fight that depression.
Yeah, the main thing that we really pushed for, like Katie said, was like the workbook mentality. Work through it. That way it's your feelings that is going on rather than just stating possible feelings. We really try to get it individualized and kind of create almost a web of these are the choices that you can make from there to be successful in this situation. These are ways that you can boost your self-esteem to have that confidence to go into a new situation and really be successful. When you have these negative thoughts, what are ways that you can do it? And, you know, in some situations, there might need to be a support person there to help out with these things or to remind them of the values that they're working towards in some of these uncomfortable situations.
It sounds like the books almost work in tandem.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, you hit it on the head when you said earlier that people have that fear of, I don't want to put myself in this situation because I don't know how to navigate it. I don't have the confidence. But sometimes that ends up to be circular because then people avoid things, but then they feel isolated and alone. You know, so you have this catch-22 of I'm safe in my comfort zone, but if I stay there, I struggle to find meaning and purpose in my life. I struggle to find friendships and I struggle to find connection with people. You know, so figuring out how to work through those emotions of I'm terrified to go talk to that person, but I know I need to because I need friendships to feel less alone. And, you know, so just giving people tools to work through that so they can live a life that they feel good about and that they find meaning in.
Yeah. And one thing that we stressed, Katie kind of said it as well, is like passion and purpose. So have a passion, whether it's some of your leisure activities and your purpose, whether that is volunteering with somebody with support or not, or whether that's working independently somewhere for a few hours a week or working full time. You know, I'm not here to define that for anybody, but as long as you have that, that's going to lead to more of that successful life and something that you can work towards. Mm-hmm. One thing that I stress with all my clients is that we all have goals, no matter if you're 2 years old, no matter if you're 102 years old. We're always working towards something, whether it's beating a level in a video game or creating new artwork, whatever it is that, you know, there's something that you're working towards and a common goal. And I think having that transparency while working with some of these individuals is super important. That way they see, oh yeah, Carlos is working on that too. We've got something in common.
And yeah, this book also geared towards, as you say, young adults, but also teens and maybe even preteens.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great.
And I'm wondering from you guys, I think we've all known that autism and depression were two things that went hand in hand a lot. But I'm wondering if you're seeing that there's just so much more because of the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic. It seems to me, it feels like there were some people in our population that being in isolation was almost a relief. Mm-hmm. And then now the coming out of the pandemic is just so hard. And then there's a whole other group of people that were just devastated by the isolation of the pandemic. And it feels very damaging what has happened to them over the last 2 years. Maybe talk a little bit about that and how the book might help if families are going through any of that.
Absolutely. No, when we look at the stats on what the pandemic did to people's mental health, it's horrible. Even suicide rates are higher. So it's really had a negative impact on everyone. You know, so we've seen with the populations that we work with, some extremes of people have been isolated for a year or two, and they've lost some skills. So now when they're going out in public, their anxiety is way higher because they haven't been exposed to this in a long time. And they've lost some of the skills that they used to have to navigate that.
So and some of that self-confidence as well.
Absolutely. So they're relearning how to do that. And a lot of times then they are wanting to avoid it. People who had employment before no longer have the confidence to get employment again. And so there's a lot of rebuilding that's having to happen with a lot of the people that we work with.
With the individuals we worked with, a lot of, you know, we were shut down for a while and we were trying to keep everything going, right, for the best interest of our clients. We didn't have physical groups for that we got together, whether it was sports groups or board game groups or just social skills learning groups. So we kind of took the bull by the horns and did this whole virtual stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So we made a virtual exercise group working on, you know, doing push-ups, sit-ups, all body weight stuff where we could all do something active and moving since we're not moving out of the house. We got different virtual games that we played together, things like that. So we could still keep that social connection alive because that's a super important thing, right? Having a network, having a safe, reliable group that you can call yours that has your back and you have their back. So we tried to maintain that for a lot of our clients. And it's really cool to the point where a lot of our clients are hanging out on the weekends independently, going over to each other's mm-hmm. house, ordering pizza, watching the game, like mm-hmm. all that kind of cool stuff. So just really pushing those kind of things with their own interests.
Absolutely.
And we
I was just going to say, we've had a group chat running with our clients as well that goes 24/7 almost. You know, where they're able to just share about life. You know, sometimes it's really silly, like, hey, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? And, you know, everybody chimes in. Other times it's more serious and people are like, hey, I'm having a really bad day. I'm struggling. And then the whole group comes together and offers support, you know, so that community has been a really big part of fighting depression and anxiety and working on their mental health together.
So tell us what you're working on next. You seem to have a great partnership going here.
Well, we love to provide different resources for, there's so many people out there that can't access service and, you know, the need is great. So we also have another assessment out called the STAR assessment. And so this is written for young adults as well. And we have 5 different categories. Actually, I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, it was based off of, the idea I got was actually from a video game, right? So when you're playing and you make a character, their stats, you're building their stats and whatnot. So it's in the shape of a star for 5 main categories being daily living skills, social skills, vocational, emotional, and one that's forgotten about a lot is leisure skills, that stuff you can do independently at home, staying out of trouble. So as you progress the core skills, you start in the beginning and kind of spread out towards the tips of those stars, being those 5 major points. assessing different prompt levels. If you're able to do it independently with verbal prompts that don't hinder progress, and then if you can't do that skill at all, that way you're really targeting, like, they would be red skills, as we call them in there, that you're working on that skill acquisition and you're furthering, you know, your advancement that way towards the tip of the star.
So you're trying to level up.
You got
that's
it.
Right. Yeah. So this is a great resource for any parent, regardless of if there's a diagnosis or not. You can take this assessment either online, or we have a hard copy that you can get on Amazon, where you can just assess. There's 252 questions, and you can just see where your child is at or where you are at. I did not score a perfect score on this assessment, for the record. I've got a few things to learn. But it can be really helpful, because as a parent myself, I've had blind areas where I've just been doing things for my child where I'm like, oh, I guess this is something that he is capable of, and it would help him for me to let him work on this, you know? And so it's just been helpful for kind of creating goals. And in the back of the book, we have a program sheet for every single goal that describes what the purpose of it is, and just some ideas for how you can work on it, or what some sub goals would be to help get you there.
Okay, so is this book out already, and the assessment is out, or the whole thing is out?
So we have the book out. It can be purchased on Amazon, and then we have a website, thestarassessment.com. We are working on getting research published on it as well. So that is in the process right now, which is not complete yet.
What is the name of the book?
The Star Assessment.
The Star Assessment. So people think that's available right now for people to order online.
Absolutely.
What a great thing. I didn't know about that. And what a great thing. I always say, you know, when you go to the mall, there's a map. And you go to the map and it says, you are here. And then you can chart a course. Well, I want to get to Macy's. So I'm here. How do I get to Macy's from here? And when my son was diagnosed with autism, and Nancy, you can speak if it was the same thing for you, but I was like, where am I? And where am I trying to get to? And can we chart a course? And nobody would even tell me where I was. At the time, that we didn't have the levels. And I don't think anybody explains the levels to parents really well now, because parents always show up and they show up, say, one number, and it's two numbers, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember saying, well, so where are we on the continuum? So he's on the spectrum of autism. Where are we? Nobody could tell me in the beginning, in the early days. And I was like, well, what are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? Nobody could tell me. So what an amazing thing that they could go and see, like on the map at the mall, you are here, because then you can chart a course. And if you know, years later, somebody said to me, because as a teacher, what I understood was that they said, well, if somebody's receptive language is stronger than their expressive, then you would teach this way. Whereas if it was the other way, you would teach a different way. That made total sense to me. But I was like, why has nobody told me where my son is on all these different levels? I wanted to know. So that's pretty exciting. And they can get that assessment, the STAR.
The STAR assessment is what it's called. And then the website is thestarassessment.com.
Okay.
The other thing that we offer is we have a Teachers Pay Teachers account that we created after doing a few public speaking events where people wanted just different pieces of our books. They didn't necessarily need the whole book. So they wanted maybe just handouts, different things like that. So on our Teachers Pay Teachers account, we have just individual handouts for perspective taking, or for, we run a healthy relationships class together. And so we have some curriculum for that, on working on different relationship issues and things like that, that are just really easy. Like sometimes they're one page things. Sometimes we have bigger activities that are, you know, more of a larger PDF that you would purchase, but those are just quick resources for people if they're looking for something they can just grab and go.
Yeah. For example, some of the two bigger lessons that we have is, one is like building conversation and language. So there's three parts to language and conversation. There's that communication verbal piece, the nonverbals, and then your like tone of voice. So breaking it down and how you really do those three in three different columns, where you can almost map out different conversations and how to address those. As well as one that we're just creating now is we are going through for our young adults again and making a budget simulation for a month. So kind of taking what someone's making for a job, for their, how much they're bringing in, what are taxes, what are bills, what are all those things that are going to be coming up for someone that's looking to move out to be as independent as possible.
And where can people get these? Where can they access these?
So our Teachers Pay Teachers account is called Mind, Body, and Success. So when you go to Teachers Pay Teachers, if you search that, it comes right up.
We may have some viewers who aren't teachers, and so they don't know about that particular site. Maybe tell them a little bit about what they'll find on Teachers Pay Teachers.
Sure. It's a really cool site. I don't know how long it's been around, but basically there's a lot of creative people in the world who have made things, and this website is basically a host for teachers, counselors. I think there's other professions on there as well that they sell products for, but there's just a ton of different resources.
It's kind of like Etsy for teachers, right?
Yeah.
That's a great way to describe it. So you can just get lost looking at countless really cool things on there.
So we would create all these lessons and worksheets and whatnot for some of our groups, and we decided we might as well share them with everybody and give people the opportunity to use some of these things, since it's been really cool success or really cool stories that we've had with some of our clients and things that just clicked, which has been fantastic to see.
For sure. In the state of Wisconsin right now, the wait list for people needing services is in the thousands. You know, so we just feel passionate about getting more resources out there. There's tons of parents desperate for, I just want something to help my child. And so we're trying to put resources out there to help people. And, you know, there's not that many services for young adults.
Right.
So that's been a big part of our focus, is trying to get more resources in that area as well.
And there's the website for everyone. Traven just put it up. This is great that you're empowering parents and individuals to be able to do some of these things themselves.
And let's take just a minute for you to talk a little bit about, these are great resources for any of us that are anywhere really in the world, but you also are a great resource for people local to you. So if somebody does live in Appleton, Wisconsin, where do they need to go if they're like, oh, I got to have more of these people? They're my neighbors.
Well, if you are local, you can go to our website, foxvalleyautism.com, and you can reach out there. Otherwise, you're welcome to email us. My direct email is ksaint@foxvalleyautism.com.
And mine is ctorres@foxvalleyautism.com.
And we, you know, it's crazy because Wisconsin is a big state. I don't mean to act like it's a small state, but we have a viewer who has been with us forever, who's very prolific and writes a great deal, and we think very highly of him. And so I'm wondering if you guys know him, which is crazy, right? But are you familiar with Mike Hippel?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Small world. Yeah. Mike is a friend of ours. Mike appeared on our show, and he's a viewer that we really appreciate and is a great advocate for assistive technology, is always speaking out about how important it is for parents to make sure that they give everyone the ability to communicate, because Mike himself was not given assistive technology until when he was older. And he says, I always say to people, if you're hemming and hawing about if your child is not able to communicate and they've said you need to start working on assistive technology and you're really dragging your feet on it, first of all, understand the studies would show that they're more likely to get to verbal communication if they have a means to communicate, but then talk to Mike. And Mike will start throwing things and saying how important it is that you give your child the ability to communicate and how it's everybody's right. He's a tireless advocate for that, and I listen to him when he says that. But that's fun that you guys know him too. We got to come to Wisconsin at some point. I almost made it to a conference there once, and then I don't know what happened. It didn't happen.
Well, your son can come and paint cows, Nancy. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right, Nancy? There's cows in Wisconsin. Why can paint away? Absolutely amazing. We just really want to thank you guys for the work that you're doing and the help and support. It's funny, usually around this time of year, we always do a show about what you can do, because right now a lot of our kids are in extended school year, but then that ends in about a week and a half and people are left at a disadvantage for the rest of the summer. And I always, as a former teacher, that always makes me nervous, because summer is the ideal time to catch up. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to work on a skill and get a little bit ahead, summer is the time to do it. And so I think that both of your books, wonderful resources, and it's never occurred to me to tell them to go to Teachers Pay Teachers. But that's the perfect place to find things if you're doing homeschool or trying to catch up on something, to get the materials that have already been created by somebody who's creative. And it's sometimes it's a dollar to be able to buy a worksheet that can make a big difference in your child or teenager or young adult's life.
Absolutely.
So thanks for reminding us. Tell us again the name of your Teachers Pay Teachers site.
It is teacherspayteachers.com / mind, body, and success.
There we go. And Traven's got it up on the screen for those of you who are watching the video podcast. Again, and then where can they get the books?
Amazon.
Yep, Amazon's going to be the quickest, easy, or Future Horizons for the Autism and Depression and Awkward.
And if you want the online version of the STAR assessment, that's thestarassessment.com.
Absolutely. You both are doing such great work. You're just so prolific, and we've really enjoyed having you here on the show to talk about all of your endeavors, and we wish you the best of luck in the future.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your impact on this community.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
You as well. Too.
All right, take care.
Bye.
I don't know, Nancy, I always get so excited when we see brilliant people who have devoted their lives to helping our families.
I know, and they're so young, too. Look at all they've already accomplished.
I know. It makes me so happy. I always used to have the thing where I would go to sleep at night, and there were years when I just felt like I was alone, that I was on Mars by myself, and I just thought, why isn't somebody doing something? And it took me years to understand that there were people like these people who were behind the scenes doing things, and that I had to be looking for them.
Right.
Sometimes you trip across them, but I had to be looking for them. So, but then when you meet them, it's just so life affirming.
It is.
And I know you've had the experience. I remember once being on a plane, and I heard the people in the two seats in front of me talking, and I, you know, your ear just starts to tune in. And I thought I heard the word autism. And then I leaned forward and I realized they were talking about autism. They were two professionals talking about autism. So as the plane landed and we were all standing up to deplane, I said, "Hey, I heard you talking about autism. What were you talking about?" And I met, you know, two incredible professionals. One of them, the one woman said to me, "I don't think you realize this guy is like the person working on music and autism." It was just really exciting to meet them. And we're not always on planes to meet people. So it's one of the reasons why I wanted to start doing a show, was so that we could bring people like this to people so that you could trip across them too. I'm not eloquent today, but you get what I'm saying.
I get your message. And I've met many people on planes with children with autism that, you know, I've spotted that fact and then bonded with them over the plane ride. So
did you say something or did they say the word autism before you said something?
Well, I remember one particular incident where I was seated next to a mom and her older son, who looked like he was in his early 20s, and he was talking back and forth with her, and he got up to use the restroom, and she turned to me and she said, "Autism." She goes, it's a journey, something to that effect. And I said, "Well, I understand. I have a son who's autistic as well." And her son was on the spectrum. And she told me how well he's doing now. And so we bonded over the plane ride.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And once you're part of the community, everywhere you go, every place you are, you're going to meet people. Because autism is worldwide, and it affects almost everybody. And if it doesn't affect someone now, it will, because they'll find that they love somebody who's on the spectrum. We have a couple of minutes before we go. And so I haven't had the opportunity on Let's Talk Autism to say that I have written a book. That the reason why I said earlier that I'm a big fan of Future Horizons, my book is out as of this week from Future Horizons. It's Autism Parent to Parent. The subtitle is Sanity Saving Advice for Every Parent with a Child on the Autism Spectrum. And I do hope that that applies, because all the chapters aren't for everyone. And what this book really is everything that I've learned over the last 16 years, some of which will be useful to some of you and other things. And I say in the beginning, take what works and throw the rest away. And it's not really meant to be read cover to cover, but it's full of chapters. You'll love this, Nancy, because one of the chapters is gratitude and farting rainbows.
That's right.
One of the things that you've accused me of before, that I think that it farts rainbows, but I address that in the book. And there is an acknowledgement in here. And in fact, Miss Nancy Allspaugh Jackson is acknowledged as one of the people that's been instrumental in our journey.
Thank you, Shannon. We are so proud of you for writing this book. It is such a great resource. And I'm sure
I hope it is.
So many families.
Well, I do think that there's something for everyone in there. I think that there are parts of it that are going to tick people off, because that's what I do. And, you know,
really, which parts do you think will piss people off?
I think that there are several parts. I think that, you know, I'm a very big fan of ABA.
Right.
But I'm a very big fan of good ABA. And that I think that there is a lot of bad ABA that's out there. And I acknowledge that in the book. But I say that I think that everybody should give ABA a try. Mm-hmm. That ultimately, maybe it isn't for you, but you won't know unless you try. But in my heart of hearts, I believe that everyone can make progress with ABA.
I agree.
Just not the same amount.
Right.
And that's hard. And I think that one of the things that I say in the book that is definitely going to tick people off is that I say that there are people who will try to prevent you from getting ABA. They will try to talk you out of it.
Right.
And sometimes there's a chapter in here that's called self-advocates. And I say in here, I love self-advocates. I absolutely love them, but that they don't always love me. Mm-hmm. And I am listening. And I apologize all the time because I say things from time to time that offend. It's never my intent to offend, ever. But sometimes I do say things that are offensive, and that I frequently apologize. But that doesn't stop me from continuing on. And because I found a lot of good things, and I feel the need to share them. But one of the other things that I wrote it, and I thought, oh, this is going to tick somebody off. But sometimes you will meet, and I'm sure that you have met these people, Nancy, you will meet parents who will say to other parents, oh, don't do ABA. We tried ABA. Don't do it. It doesn't work. And I say in the book, I think that parents need to be wary of who they take advice from. And that sometimes parents weren't able to do ABA for various and sundry reasons. Their life wasn't set up for it. We don't need to judge those people, but we shouldn't allow them to stop us from getting good ABA. And that the phrase that I went, oh, that's going to offend somebody, is that the people who say the loudest, don't do ABA with your child. I've never met a parent whose child was doing all the things that we hope our child will do that said that.
Right.
That's just my experience. And, you know, I've met lots of parents that did ABA and worked their tuchuses off, and their child did not get to where they had hoped in their first days.
Right.
I've seen that happen, but I have never, ever seen a parent whose child was doing so well that it was like so remarkable that we all went, okay, this, I have to know what this family is doing that didn't do some element of ABA. I have not experienced that. Is that true for you, Nancy?
Yeah, that just— I think that's true. I think it's hard to find a child that has had intensive ABA that hasn't benefited from it in some way. For example, with my son, we maybe did not get to where we wanted to, but I can see in many instances where he's benefited from it, where his behaviors have benefited from it.
Absolutely. But I think that it's important that families understand the difference between bad ABA and good ABA. And I go through that in the book, and I tell them, I want you to know what you're looking for so that you can advocate for the right thing. Yeah. But we are out of time. But anyway, my book available today everywhere. I hope you guys will check it out. And if you like anything that's in there, I am told that if I can get 100 reviews on Amazon, that it's the most helpful thing to help other families be able to find the book. So I'm begging and pleading, please give me a review on Amazon. It's much, much, much appreciated. Anyway, we are back next week with a whole bunch of new shows. I think tomorrow we're playing one of our pre-recorded stories from the Spectrum, one of the ones that we played before, but they're good. We've got a new one that's coming. I can't wait to show people. Such good stuff coming in next month. But then we'll be back next week with all new shows. Nancy, thank you so much for being here with
us. Thank you for having me, Shannon. It's been a pleasure to host with you today.
We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, give your kiddos a hug from me.
And yourselves a hug from me. Bye-bye.
For now.